Hello, I'm Will Shires and this is Talking Trucks. Today I'm joined by Lewis Jones, EV and Connected Services Director at DAF Trucks UK. And we're sitting in the cab of a DAF XF Electric, which was crowned International Truck of the Year 2026. It's a significant win for DAF, especially in Truck of the Year's 50th anniversary year. And today we're going to talk about what makes this truck stand out and where electric transport is heading. Lewis, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Pleasure to have you here in Haddenham at our headquarters, and pleasure to be sitting next to you in International Truck of the Year.
Excellent. So, first of all, tell me a little bit about this truck. What are we in exactly?
So, yeah, we are sat in a XF350E tractor unit, which is, you know, we're seeing a lot of these trucks on the road this year through the ZHID program, XFs and also XDs. So this has got five packs. So that means 525 kilowatt hours of installed capacity. It can charge up to 325 kilowatts. And we've seen operators that have been putting these on the road so far this year achieving about 260 miles range as an average, with some operators pushing beyond 300 miles as well. So the ZHID program has really supported electric tractor units, you know, hitting the road this year, and this is, you know, one of the prominent vehicles that we've seen through that.
Got you. So this is a 4x2.
This is a 4x2.
So that means it can run at 42 tons.
42, yeah.
Two-ton dispensation, right?
Exactly right, yeah, exactly.
But there's no dispensation for a 6x2, is there?
There isn't, no. So, you know, a six-axle combination is still at 44 tons, and the same for four axles as well is still at 32 tons. So there are some dispensations that, you know, a two-axle rigid can go up to 20 ton, but we've not seen that fully across the board yet, to be fair.
So are you even bothering to offer this as a 6x2?
At the moment, no. So at the moment, our tractor units are just the 4x2s. However, you know, we'll be reviewing our product portfolio over the coming years. Yeah.
So how much of this truck is actually built in Britain?
So as you know, we've got our assembly plant up in Leyland. So this truck and lots of others through the ZHID program were built in Leyland, so which we're very proud of, very, very proud of. And if you ever get the chance to come up here, listeners, then you can see electric vehicles being built and assembled right next to diesel vehicles. So the assembly plant at Leyland will flow with a diesel vehicle, followed by an EV, followed by a diesel, followed by an EV. And you know, we're really proud of that kind of fitting seamlessly into our assembly plant. And at the end of the line, we have the kind of high commissioning areas where the kind of high voltage system gets energised and then it leaves the line. So yeah, built here in the UK. We are building in Eindhoven as well, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, the majority of the vehicles we see here in the UK are built at Leyland in the UK.
But I'm assuming there aren't many going down the line at any one point. I mean, how many have you actually got on the roads in the UK now?
So by the end of the year, we should have close to 100 vehicles on the road, with more still to come in the beginning of next year. So we built a lot throughout this year, but we've seen some operators just waiting for their infrastructure to be finalised before they take the vehicles into their fleet. So through the ZHID programme, we sold 91 trucks. All 4x2 tractor units, and we've sold lots of other trucks outside of that as well. So, but what we found through you know, working with operators, is that the infrastructure side, they can, you know, sometimes be some delays in that. So we've still got some trucks that are waiting to go in, to be fair.
Yeah, okay. So give me an idea of who these early adopters are.
Yeah, so through the ZHID program, the tractor units, some of the bigger fleets we've sold into are, you know, Royal Mail, Maritime, Wincanton, Ferguson's Transport. So they've all taken a number of vehicles, and as well as that, through our XB early adopter program, that's with the likes of DPD, Evry, Howard Tennant, Darcy Logistics. So we're seeing a real spread, really, from some of the, you know, the huge fleets, but then also some of the smaller, the family owned businesses as well, wanting to you know, start with electrification, zero emission, to pass it on to their next generation. So it's been a real mix, to be fair.
Okay, what sort of feedback are you getting from them?
Really positive, really, really positive. So I've not met a driver yet who's driven an electric truck and not absolutely loved it. You know, they're really quiet, really smooth. And yeah, we do a lot of trips over to Eindhoven to do ride and drives and test drives, and the feedback is always overwhelmingly positive. We've also done a roadshow here in the UK this year, going out to every sales location and offering ride and drive there as well. And it's always the electric tractor that's always fully utilised, and people want to get in and try it. And it's a different experience for drivers, but it's a really positive one. And the actual trucks in operation as well, we've had fantastic feedback.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because there's a lot of negativity towards electric trucks from drivers, especially until, of course, they drive one. Then that changes immediately.
Exactly. Yeah, it's all about bums on seats, isn't it, at the end of the day. Yeah. It's a different experience, but it's an overwhelmingly positive one.
But see, we have the problem with the magazine. If I put an electric truck on the cover, I sell less copies. It's an odd one.
Well, we'll hopefully have to change that for you.
Yeah. So, is it just urban and regional distribution? Is that the sweet spot, or
we've seen it across everything? So at the moment, I think that because of the ZHID program, that has put a lot of focus on tracked units and really pushing, you know, intercity distribution and up and down the motorway network as well. So yeah, it's not just limited to inner city, which maybe a few years ago we thought it might be, because obviously there's a trade-off, isn't there? That the more miles you do, the TCO calculation swings favouring battery electric. So operators are wanting to find that sweet spot of routes and operations that they can work with EV, but also they're doing enough miles to swing the TCO calculation in favour of EV. So it's really about understanding the operation and working with operators to make sure the TCO calculation stacks up.
And are you expecting them to keep the trucks for longer than they would an equivalent diesel?
Possibly, yeah. So what we've seen is that 5 years is typically the TCO sweet spot, where a electric tractor unit like this one achieves TCO parity with a diesel over 5 years. And as well as that, these vehicles have got 8 years battery warranty, as well to again give confidence to customers that they can keep them for longer if they want to. So yeah, I think we might see maybe a pushing out a little bit of operating cycles just from a TCO perspective.
So you're clearly pro electric trucks, mm-hmm. But come on, be honest with me now. Is that because of your job, or do you genuinely believe electric is the best for these operations?
I do truly believe, to be fair. I drive an electric car as well.
That was my next question.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
You put your money where your mouth
is. I do indeed. I'm looking at it in our car park. It's on charge at the moment, and I absolutely love it. And I do an awful lot of miles as well, and I use public charging very regularly, and I love it. I love it. I love the drive. It's really smooth, and you know, I do truly believe for heavy goods vehicles as well, electric is the way forward. At the moment, of course, there will be routes that are not possible for electrification, whether that be because of the duty cycle, whether that be through infrastructure. However, our focus at the moment this year and into next year as well is proving that electrification does work, proving it with household names, and just building that momentum, really, because I do believe it is a future.
So what about long haul? Do you think there's a future there?
I do. I think, you know, we're getting to a point where, you know, with driving hours, being able to, you know, to run for 4.5 hours charging in that 45-minute window and then carrying on again. Obviously, it's very reliant on high-powered charge infrastructure in the right places, and that is what's going to probably unlock some of that further long haul and driving into Europe and all that kind of stuff. So there's a dependency on infrastructure there, but I do see that being electric as well.
Yeah, and you touched on actual depots, you know, hauliers putting electricity into their own depots. It's a real struggle, isn't it?
Yeah, so absolutely. You know, you are, it's the luck of the draw, really, in terms of the depot that you're at and, you know, how close you are to a substation, for example. However, in the UK at the moment, we've got the depot charging scheme. So lots of operators have applied to that funding programme. And as we stand here today at the beginning of December, they're waiting to find out if they've got funding for it. So that is supporting some operators installing infrastructure at their own site, because that's where the trucks are going to want to be charged mostly. You're in control of that charge infrastructure. You're paying probably cheaper electricity than what you pay on the strategic road network or on motorway service areas. So depot charging is key, and you know, initiatives like the depot charging scheme really help that.
Okay, so according to ASEA, right now I think about 4% of new trucks in Europe are electric. Is it the same figure in the UK? Are we around about that level?
I think in terms of UK this year, it's definitely increased a lot. So I think the last 2 years, by the SMMT numbers, it's been about 250 zero emission trucks that have been registered each year. As of, you know, up to the end of November, that is, we're getting close to 500 in 2025. So the numbers are definitely increasing, and I see that number increasing next year as well. So yeah, it's all moving in the right direction, and then, you know, it's difficult to say at what point, yeah, the numbers will start, you know, going into the double figures in terms of percentages and upwards from there, but it's definitely moving in the right direction.
So why aren't more fleets buying them?
That's a good question. I think it's seeing is believing, I think. So what we're seeing at the moment is some of those true early adopters wanting to be the first ones and really trial it within their fleet. And I think there's a lot to be learned from that, because you get those early learnings, whereas some operators may want to just wait and see, you know, let's see some of the larger fleets make it work, and then I'll follow after that. So I think that's our job, really, is to prove to more and more operators that it is viable today. The TCO total cost of ownership calculation does stack up today, and I think with time that will then, you know, increase adoption. But we are seeing, you know, it is across the board. There are more and more operators talking to us about it now. We really feel that within our dealer network as well. So our role is just to keep building that momentum, because I don't know if you feel the same, Will, but it certainly feels like in the second half of 2025 the conversation around electric is really, really picking up. And I think part of that is because of, you know, the ZHID program and more electric trucks hitting the road, and operators want to see them on the road and get real world feedback rather than feedback, you know, from us as OEMs kind of saying this is what they're going to do. They want to see them on the road for themselves.
Yeah, I'm certainly seeing more on the road myself. Yeah, absolutely. So what do you think the biggest barrier is then? Is it infrastructure, mindset, or cost? Which
that's a good question. I think what I think about in terms of the barrier here in the UK is the pull factors almost in the market. So there are push forces for zero emission. So stuff like Vecto, for example, on manufacturers wanted to reduce CO2, and that's through diesel vehicles, but also through zero emission vehicles. So the manufacturers, we really want to advance the EV agenda. But from a pull perspective in the marketplace, there isn't so much as what we see in other European markets. So, for example, in the Netherlands, there are increasing numbers of zero emission inner cities. That is, you know, really accelerating adoption rates in those countries and cities in particular. So there isn't so much of that here in the UK, which is a barrier, I would say, in terms of getting that pull from the market. But then in terms of other factors, like you mentioned it, you know, infrastructure, I would say, is probably more so than cost, because we've got a tractor campaign at the moment which is demonstrating a total cost of ownership parity over 5 years. So we're trying to eliminate that as a barrier. And then, you know, that just remains kind of infrastructure and ensuring that operators can actually do it at their site, really.
Okay.
That was a very long answer for you, Will, but hopefully I've covered a few points of
that. That was good. Now, we're seeing more and more Chinese trucks entering the market. I think there's three 7.5-tonners available at the moment,
yeah.
Plus larger trucks on mainland Europe.
Yeah.
Should European truck manufacturers be worried?
Well, competition is good. Competition is good. A rising tide lifts all boats. So competition is good, and it, you know, the more electric trucks that are on the road, it again supports that mindset and, you know, wider adoption piece, really, that you know, people and operators see that this is the way forward and it can work. So yeah, we see lots of competitors, not just from China but from the European OEMs as well and elsewhere too. So it's a good thing. Competition is good.
Okay, so what do you think the market will look like in 5 years, both in terms of volumes and also competitors?
Mm-hmm. So I think there'll be more competitors than there are today, for sure. So, you know, if we look at the passenger car market, for example, and we rewound 5 years, some of the names that you see today we would never have heard of 5 years ago. So we may well see a similar thing from a HGV perspective. In terms of percentages, in terms of adoption, so what at the moment, for an OEM perspective, of 2025, our Vecto reduction target is 15%. And we're seeing, you know, a market from an EV perspective that is, you know, 2-3%. So to then put that into perspective, in 2030, the Vecto reduction will either be 30 or 45%, depending on whether we align with the EU or not. So that will, you know, what we're likely to see then is a kind of similar factor, possibly, in terms of that number to what we see today, to 15%. So I think we'll be almost certainly in double figures in terms of percentages of annual registrations. And I guess what that number actually is will depend on a lot of factors, such as infrastructure, such as subsidy programs and everything else, really. But I can almost certainly say there'll be a lot more electric trucks than there are today.
Yeah. The Vecto fines you just touched on then, if truck manufacturers don't hit those targets, they face literally billions of euros in fines, which is enough to wipe out Europe's truck manufacturers. Should we be worried?
Well, I think, you know, all OEMs, including DAF, are, you know, putting a lot of focus into improving diesel vehicle engine efficiency, such as, you know, through our model year 25, we're achieving, you know, fuel economy improvements. So that is helping. But it's, you know, like we said before, it is also putting a lot of focus on zero emission trucks as well. And you know, it's all part of the equation, and all OEMs are putting a lot of focus on it. So, yeah, it's a key focus area for us. And of course, the difference with the UK is because of Brexit, the UK is measured, you know, on its own for OEMs, European OEMs, rather than for European markets. It's one European view, basically. So, yeah, it puts a lot of focus on the UK, but we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah. See, I've got a feel for the truck manufacturers. I mean, you guys have done exactly what's been asked of you. You've delivered very, very good electric trucks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you just need a bit of help with government assistance, I think, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a collaboration is key, isn't it, really? And infrastructure is a big part of it. But if we think back even 12 months ago, I think we're in a much better position now from an infrastructure perspective. You know, such as the Milence hub in Immingham, the first one back in March. That was a big, you know, it felt like a big moment for the UK, and that it was the first dedicated electric truck hub, not just charger, but full hub. And there's lots of other stuff happening, so, you know, such as the Tilbury charging hub with Fleet, and Aegis Energy are working to install hubs as well. So it feels like there's a lot happening. And yeah, you know, we brought the trucks, we're sitting in, you know, International Truck of the Year, it's here, it, you know, operators are taking them and driving them and loving them, but it feels like the other parts are starting to move in the right direction as well, which is really positive.
So it is a tricky one for you then. If you were to switch jobs and you're in government, what would you do to accelerate the take-up of zero tailpipe emission trucks?
That's a very good question. I think I feel the answer is not always just throwing more money, you know, in terms of subsidies and grants. You know, I think that is clearly a challenge. Of course, you know, stuff like the depot charging scheme and the plug-in truck grant is fantastic, and I would look to increase those, extend those, have more of those, of course. But I would consider how can we stimulate more pull demand from the market. That's what my focus would be on. What, you know, how could I, you know, really get into the minds of operators and understand what would pull them to move to zero emission trucks. And of course, there's no easy answer to that, of course. But that's what I would really focus on, accelerating the pull.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do you think policymakers actually understand the difference between cars and trucks when it comes to electrification?
I think they do, to be fair. So, you know, we speak a lot with, you know, Innovate UK, Department for Transport, SMMT. You know, we're all having the right conversations and talking them through how we see things developing. So I think they absolutely do. There are a lot of differences in terms of what the requirements are for electric trucks versus electric cars and vans. You know, depot charging is a big focus that, you know, is not really there for cars and vans. Cars certainly not, of course. So I think they do, and I think, you know, collectively we've got a role in terms of how do we see things developing, which we are doing, to be fair. So I think they do.
And do you think independent recognition, like the Truck of the Year win, helps to convince the market?
100%, yeah. We were really, really proud. It was great to see you in Scotland a couple of weeks ago and receive the trophy. So I think, again, it all just builds confidence to operators that, you know, the International Truck of the Year is across all fuel types, diesel trucks as well as EV. So being able to win that and stand on our own 2 feet with our electric XD and XF, I think it just brings more confidence and kudos really to electric trucks.
Yeah, brilliant. And finally, let's have a little bit about yourself. How did you get into the industry?
Good question. I wonder the same thing every day. So I studied business at Lancaster University, and when I left Lancaster, I joined a graduate program with Mercedes-Benz. So I moved down to Milton Keynes, which is a bit of a hub for automotive. You've got Mercedes, Volkswagen, Scania, and lots of others there.
Yep.
So I started my career with Mercedes-Benz across financial services, across vans, a little brief stint in Stuttgart in Germany as well. And then following there, my last role was in vans that focused on electrification, which was my first dip into EV and then also commercial vehicles. I then moved to Scania, over the road in Milton Keynes, and where I was focused on electrification for Scania. So, you know, business electrification in terms of depots and our charging offering and everything else. And then following there, I then found myself at DAF. So
when was that? When did you join?
I joined DAF in June of 2024. So I've been with DAF for 18 months now, which has been an amazing 18 months. It feels like we've really achieved a lot. You know, we've got a lot of electric trucks now on the road with more to come. You know, numerous of our dealers have got 180 kilowatt chargers installed, and it really feels like we are at a crucial point in our industry to really head into 2026 and get more and more electric trucks on the road.
Yeah. Do you enjoy your job?
I love it. It's very fast-paced, very, very fast-paced. I love the industry. I love being out and meeting customers at shows and dealers as well. So much can happen from one day to the next. I can certainly say in 18 months, no 2 days have ever been the same, and they probably never will be, probably the same as yourself. But I really do love it. I think the feeling I get is once you're in this industry, you never tend to leave it. And no, I can't see myself leaving it either. So, yeah, I've loved it, and here's to the next 18 months and beyond.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Will.
Really interesting.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Cheers.